First off, it was all about, can I make the 2024 World Cup, which over the last month or so, it's been pretty clear that I don't think that I can get that far. So I wanted to make sure I gave the team and the new leader enough space and time to be able to sort of take the team in their own direction and see into a direction that they think that they can take it over the next 18 months to be able to give that World Cup a real crack. If I kept playing any longer, I think that by not making that World Cup, I would have been doing the job and the country a disservice in that regard.
That was Aaron Finch speaking on Dwayne's World on SEN this afternoon. He has announced his retirement from international cricket after more than a decade representing Australia, and he led them with such class and such grace, as Jared, you spoke about last week, to tell us about his career and all things in the lead up to Australia's tour of India. Our next guest is one of the greatest we've ever had to represent the country. His name is Mike Hussey. Mike, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, g'day, Kane and Jared. Nice to be on the show.
Just your reflections of Aaron Finch. We touched on him last week, and Jared was strong that he's just one of those unheralded Australian sports people that perhaps we don't give the due credit that they deserve. But can we have your perspective?
Well, I think a lot of plaudits will come his way over the next few days and weeks, because what he's achieved has been pretty remarkable, really. I think he's been instrumental in the white ball game for Australia for a long, long time now. I think back to him and David Warner at the top of the order in the 50 over World Cup back in 2015, when they basically, I guess, were just so dominant and really sort of set the tone for Australia in so many games and just put the opposition back on their heels so often. I think that's probably when he was at his best, and then T20 sort of came along and he was always very destructive at the top of the order. And having a player like that as your leader as well, going out there and almost showing the rest of the team how he thinks that the game should be played, I think that sort of really stands out to me. And for him to, I guess, hold that World Cup trophy in the T20s aloft, a couple of years ago now, that's something that I think he'll be remembered. Well, he will be remembered, you know, as a skipper of that team forever. So I guess I just want to put on my congratulations to him as well. It's been a fantastic career. And I think he's really led the team. Well, I think he really grew as a leader as time wore on as well. And it's probably a good time for him to go, as he sort of said in his remarks there, giving the new leader an opportunity to really build the team how they want to take it forward. So, yeah, congrats on an awesome career.
What sort of captain was he?
I felt as though in the early years, and particularly when he was captaining the Renegades in the Big Bash, he was an angry captain and an emotional captain and lost his cool quite a lot. But then as he evolved, I felt as though he really kept his emotions in check really well towards the back end, and I think that was important in that T20 campaign in the UAE when Australia won. Yes, he's still going to be an emotional guy and plays with so much passion, but I felt as though tactically he got better, and I felt as though he controlled his emotions better later in his career.
Who will be the next captain, do you think? What would your prediction be there?
I was hoping you weren't going to ask me that question. It's a tough one. It really is. The short answer is I don't know, and I think they're going to have to really think this one through carefully. He leaves obviously a big hole in that leadership perspective. For me, the standout leader of men to me is Mitch Marsh, but there are certain shortcomings with Mitch Marsh as well. Obviously, he's got to get his body right, and he's got to be able to play in a consistent manner to be able to keep his place in that team. And then I think also from a strategic sense, I think he needs a bit of support around him as well. He did captain the Scorchers for a couple of years, and it probably wasn't his strong suit, but that's something that you can develop and learn along the way. And I think Ashton Turner came in and took over the captaincy and has done a fantastic job there. But as far as a leader of men and taking a group in a certain direction, I feel like he's got the character traits to be a fantastic leader for Australia.
Explore that a bit further for me, because I see him as a very popular member of the Australian team and a bit of a jokester and a bit of a prankster and a really lovely personality. I personally wouldn't have nominated him in my top five choices, but you've got the insight that I don't have. So just expand for us.
Yeah, well, I think it's not so much the cricket talent. It's not so much the analytical side of the game or strategy or anything like that. I think they can put those resources around him. But as far as a character and as a person, I even think back to when Australia did win that T20 World Cup. That team looked so tight and they were really playing for each other. And Mitch Marsh, for me, he was right in the centre of that. And I felt like his character was just dragging players along. He was playing well at the time. He was batting number three, having a really good tournament. You could just see how he was just bringing other players and other people into the game and you know, making them feel as though they are, you know, very important parts of the team. He's got a great passion for the game as well. There's no hidden agendas with Mitch Marsh. You know, what you see is what you get with him. And he just wants the best for the teams that he's playing with. So, you know, it's more those character traits that I'm looking for, but certainly there are shortcomings that are going to have to be you know, supported around that.
Who else would be in consideration?
Well, I think...
Maxie too old?
No, definitely not. I don't think Maxie's too old. And I think Maxie's got a pretty good read on the game as well. He's obviously got a lot of experience in T20 cricket. And I'm sure he'd do a bloody good job as well, to be honest. I think he's got to be in the conversation, without doubt, along with Pat Cummins as well.
And is it as simple as, you know, Finch out, Smith in to open up?
Oh, that's another good question. I think there's some good candidates out there, but I've always liked Steve Smith in T20 cricket. I think he offers something a little bit different than the other guys. It's not all just brute force and power. He can almost kill you by a thousand cuts, really, and hits the ball in different areas. Obviously, got a lot of experience as well, leadership capabilities in there. So I like him in that team, and I'd love to see him get an opportunity at the top of the order. But again, I'd like to sit down and go through all the candidates because I think there's a few good players that have dominated in the Big Bash over the last few years that could certainly give him a run for his money.
So talking about Steve Smith, I thought last night in discussing the upcoming Indian series that potentially it could be decided by the head-to-head battle of the two great batsmen of this current era, Smith and Kohli, who both have seemed to have reset and re-energised themselves over the last 6 months or more.
Yeah, I think that's a fair statement. And I'm expecting both of those guys to have impressive series. I don't think you can sort of say that battle is going to decide the result of the series. I think there's going to be a lot more to it than that. And I think there's going to be a lot of games within the games, to be honest. It's going to be fascinating to see how it plays out. It's going to be fascinating to see what type of pitches are produced. India have shown in the last few years that their fast bowling stocks are actually really strong as well as their spin, which we've always known. They've got some outstanding batsmen, you know, all the way down the list, really. You know, you can't discount KL Rahul. Obviously, there's Rohit Sharma in there as well to go with Virat Kohli. I think Rishabh Pant's going to be a big loss for India. He's someone that can really change games and change them quickly. So that's one little area I think that Australia might be able to expose, but we're going to have to be at our best to give them a run for their money, that's for sure.
Talking of the pitches, I was reading a preview today of the upcoming series, and one of the quotes or one of the comments in that preview really took me aback, and that was, we have to wait and see what sort of wickets India are preparing for us. Now, I might be naive here, but in Australia, we almost know the wickets, what sort of characteristics the wickets are going to have, slightly changed by drop-ins, but we know what's happening in Perth and Adelaide and essentially in New South Wales and Brisbane, where they're not drop-ins, those last two. Is there a decision made in Australia that this is our side, so therefore we're going to prepare this sort of wicket or not?
It's a lot different in Australia to maybe other parts of the world, and particularly India. Look, I think in Australia, you're right. We know what the conditions are going to be like at the different grounds around the country, and the groundsman takes great pride in producing those pitches. So I think, you know, it's certainly in India over the years that they can maybe just have a look at what their strengths are and how they can get an advantage over the opposition and then maybe produce wickets accordingly. We've certainly seen it in the past. I'm expecting turning pitches, if I'm being honest. You know, it's the most foreign conditions that we're used to in Australia. So you'd expect India to use that to their advantage to sort of say, okay, we're more used to these slower turning pitches than what Australia are. We'll back ourselves in our home conditions to win the Test matches that way. So it's just sometimes they go a little bit too far, and the ball starts turning basically before lunch on the first day, which makes it really challenging. So I just hope that they're good pitches, but certainly in the favour of the home team. But they allow the game to really develop and hopefully go the full 5 days, and then the best team can come out on top. So let's just see how it plays out. But I'm expecting turning pitches personally.
What did you find the greatest challenge playing in India?
There's lots of challenges. It's probably just because the conditions are so foreign than what we're used to.
Yep.
It's hot, it's humid in various places. You have to score your runs in different parts of the ground because the ball's turning a lot. You generally score a lot square of the wicket, whereas in Australia you can hit down the ground with a lot more confidence. There's not as many pulls and cuts over there because the ball doesn't bounce as much. There's a lot of reverse swing that you've got to contend with. Starting against spin is really difficult. Plus, there's the challenges of the crowd, the external things like the food's different. Everything's just very different and foreign to what we're used to. So, I don't know, I probably named about 10 things there.
Yep.
which makes it a challenge, which is what we're all excited about. You mentioned Kohli or Jared did. I think Ashwin is their biggest weapon. His record against Warner is excellent. He's got a good record against Smith. When a bowler has the wood on you as a batsman, how do you approach it mentally leading into a series?
It's really challenging. I think the best thing you can do is try and leave all those demons behind in the past. And come out with a positive frame of mind and a clear plan on how you want to go about it. Now, that plan might not always work, but if you just try and hang in there and survive and just try and defend against someone like Ashwin, then I think you're going to be in all kinds of trouble. There's going to be a ball that's got your name on it. So you've got to try and put some pressure back on him, look to score, get off strike, frustrate him, make his margin for error a lot smaller. He's certainly going to be a real challenge for the Aussies. And it'll be interesting to see Jadeja as well. I think he's back to fitness again. And he could provide a real challenge for the Aussies too.
Hey, Huss, before we let you go, last night we discussed the South African T20 player, Danae van Niekerk, who had been omitted from her team due to failing a 2K time trial. She didn't reach the 9 minutes and 30 standard.
I did a bit of research on that last night, Cornsy, before you...
And what did you find?
Well, I found out she'd lost 10Ks prior to the last run, so it's not as if she didn't have a crack.
Huss, I've got no sympathy for her. Jared did have a little bit, as did some of our audience. Where do you sit?
Well, I guess if they've put the guidelines in place and everyone knew what they were and that was going to be one of the criteria for selection in the squad, then I guess you've got to, if that's what was agreed upon right from the start, then I guess you've got to follow through with that. It's a tough one because, certainly I think if Shane Warne was probably playing in that team and he didn't quite make the time, it would have been very difficult to leave Warne out. So I'd maybe try and either shorten the course for him or maybe give him another couple of goes at it.
Fudge the numbers. Yeah. Well, I think he's with me. I'm claiming my Mr. Cricket is with me, Jared.
I reckon there was a fnudge there.
Okay.
I think Mike is such a smart guy. He would say, okay, at what level can the captain pass the fitness test? 10 minutes. Okay, that'll do. Let's make the new regime 10 minutes, even though it was 10 minutes.
Huss, we're out of time. We'll leave you on that divisive note. We can't wait for the series. We appreciate your company and your insights tonight.
No worries, guys. Have a great night.
Mike Hussey with us for Sports Day. We're doing it all thanks to Kia, progressive technology, blistering performance and quality design, and Macca's Aussie Angus Deluxe. It's Aussie Az. You were doing some research last night, Jared.
It was a fascinating story. I mean, look, I'm all for standards, but, this woman has been the leader of that group for so long, and she's fired with no standards that she had to keep except the fact that she had to be the best player. So if you're going to bring in this regime, this new regime, which is all fantastic, it's essentially there for the next generation. I would have made sure that she got across the line somehow.
1-300-736-736 is the Harcourt's open line if you want to have your say on that. Mike Hussey, our guest.